Good morning, everyone, and welcome out to another beautiful morning in the Australian bush. Thanks for joining with us. Today, I would like to share with you part of a verse from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. God is speaking to one of his old Jewish priests. Remember, the priests have the responsibility of looking after everything that's going on in the temple. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30, God says, "For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Well, let me share that same verse with you from the New Living Translation. "But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me." Wow, that's a pretty powerful comment. Unfortunately, in this situation, God is judging Eli and his sons for taking him lightly. These sons were desecrating the sacrifices on the altar. If you want to, go to the story and read the whole story. But not only that, these two boys were seducing the young women who would come in and serve at the front of the temple. Actually, they're making fun of God's law. They're just not honoring what they're supposed to be doing. Oh, and please remember, as Christians, that we are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it deserves to be looked after. We need to look after the temple of God that God gave us. But that's enough about dishonoring God. Today I will focus on honoring Him. He did say if we honor Him, He would honor us. Today I want to show you a clip, a news clip from a secular news source. Keep this in mind. It's a secular news source, and it highlights what's happening to a group of students at Asbury University in Kentucky. I personally believe these students are honoring God.
Started as a routine chapel service last Wednesday, became a revival. Continuing now for the sixth day in a row, as Josh Short reports, it's catching the attention of those even outside of Kentucky.
A revival lasting not hours, but days. The worship experience still continuing into Monday, clocking in over 125 hours. The auditorium was filled with not only students and staff, but also visitors taking it all in.
We ask God all the time to speak to us, and we want to listen. And I finally listened, and I made it here last night. I was just amazed. I just had to sit down, and I just had to take it in for a while. And then I was, pressed by the Spirit to worship with everyone.
Wilmore Mayor Harold Rainwater attended past revivals, with one in 1970 also extending over days. Rainwater saying word spreads fast in today's age.
The power of the social media makes this worldwide. I got a call. I have a brother in Georgia, brother in Florida, both called me this morning telling me that they talked about it in their churches yesterday. These things happen about every 20 years, but nothing quite of this size and scope. And impact.
The university president saying there's no way to describe the experience in words.
There's just been an incredible spirit among our students, our staff, our faculty, those who have visited here. There's been sharing. There has been radical humility, generosity, honesty, confessing, and just a spirit of humility and gratitude.
Students also calling it a blessing to be part of this moment, saying it'll stick with them long after the service ends, whenever that moment comes.
Truly, I feel like there's something different in my heart and the way I'm viewing it. The power of prayer has really spoken out to me during this, like being able to be prayed over, but then also just getting the chance to pray for other people has been incredible.
In Wilmore, Josh Short, Fox 56 News.
I know that there's some room for skepticism here. So I've spent a lot of time this week reading and researching and watching videos just to see what is going on from those who went. And believe me, there are some skeptics. First of all, this whole thing began when a student pastor did an exposition from Romans chapter 12, and he encouraged the students to accept the love of God for themselves and then they could share that love with other people. When he got finished, the choir sang, people were supposed to dismiss, and they just didn't go home. And now this has gone on for 10 days. Revival? Awakening? Not sure. Secondly, this is not characterized by a lot of crazy things going on that we've seen in the past from quote-unquote revivals. But you see, what permeates this place is praying, singing, confession of sin, and deep, deep repentance. And throughout, people are sharing and reading from Scripture. There's a unique presence about this place that's reported by everybody who comes here. Even skeptics who have visited the chapel say there is a sweet and very gentle and loving spirit that permeates the whole place. Does that sound a lot like the gentle shepherd that we used to sing about? Listen, there's no band. There's only new and old praise songs. There's no words on the screen. It's unscripted. It's unplanned. And there are some old hymns dispersed throughout. No main preacher standing at the front. But there are people sharing from Scripture throughout. And throughout this, there's a lot of singing, praying, crying from brokenness, and testimonies of salvation and healing. What does that sound like to you? Now, let me share a few words from some of the administration of Asbury University. One man says, someday we will look back on these days and thank God that He visited us in ways that we'll talk about for years to come. But what we are doggedly seeking is not lasting memories, but transformed lives long after the lights go out in Hughes Auditorium or Estes Chapel or all other places which are experiencing this work of grace. He continues, in short, it's not about this place or that place or whether Wilmore or any other city. It's all about Jesus Christ Himself. None of us own this awakening, but all of us must own our own lives and His work and His beckoning to us to come to a deeper place with Him. Folks, this revival or awakening or whatever you want to call it, it's just a move of God with an obvious focus on the person of Jesus Christ, something I have been focusing on for months. But again, as you would expect, the skeptics have been all over this place. One lady who visited the chapel had a great summary of everything that was going on. And she even admitted that there was a sweet, godly, and calm spirit in the place when she walked in. But then she continued and she said, in conclusion, well, I judge this. And that hit me. And then she went on, and I judge this. I said, hang on a minute. I stopped the video. Didn't Jesus say, judge not that you be not judged, because with your own judgment you will be judged? Jesus, our Savior, said that. And then the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse number 4, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand. For God is able to make him stand. Sometimes I think there is far too much judging going on. Our world, our secular world, has been known for that. And even in conservative Christian circles, the judgmentalism just flows out. Jesus said, don't. Paul said, don't. We need to lose that, confess that sin, and get rid of it. But what impacted me most about what was going on at Asbury University was the testimony of a local pastor. You know, I would play you his video. It's about 30 minutes long. But he was so broken and quiet, it was hard to hear what he was saying, so you wouldn't be able to hear it. But he just explained what he experienced at Asbury University. He said, I heard what was going on at Asbury, so I thought I would go and check it out. He says, after all, that's what I was supposed to do. He continues, when I got to the chapel, there was a sweet spirit and a lot of people praying and singing. So I, as a pastor, I went to work, as we would do. He continues, but then God stopped me and showed me that I wasn't here for working as a pastor. Then he felt a strong conviction for the sin of a lukewarm spirit. The Holy Spirit just poured conviction on his life, a local pastor, that something was wrong. He continues, I had become cold and complacent in my ministry. The pastor confessed his sin and asked God to rework his life. This pastor was confessing his sin to his local church. Wow. You see, at this, whatever it is that's going on, there is a strong spirit of conviction and confession of sin. And many people say that there is a feeling of gratitude and reverence and praise that permeates this entire thing. And for what I've just seen, it's still continuing on, days 11, 12. So let me give you my opinion on what's going on. I'm not going to judge, believe me. But I'm going to share with you my opinion from what I can see this long way away. From what I read and saw, this is a real movement of God. It's a movement of God to revolutionize a group of young people so these young people can go out and revolutionize a world. Well, I believe what's going on reflects something that God said way back in the Chronicles. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, and you'll be very familiar with this. Many of you can quote it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I know he's speaking to Israel, but I think the application is here as well. If my people, that's you and me, will humble themselves, everything begins with humility. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. However, pride he will push away. He says, and pray and seek my face. We've been praying for revival for a long time. It's on the agenda sheet on our leaders' meetings. Pray for revival and seek my face. That's getting serious about it. And turn from their wicked ways. That is confession of sin and repentance. That's turning around, going the other way. Then he'll hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. And we all know that needs to be done. So why am I talking about this revival way over in Kentucky here? Well, I personally believe that the same God who's moving there wants to move here. The same God that's bringing people from all over the world to that one spot wants to do the same thing here, but he will have to first find some people whom he can use. But are we willing to prepare ourselves for that? Let's again look at that verse. If my people, are you God's child? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways. Folks, will you do that? Will I? Because when we do those things, he will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and cleanse us. He'll heal the land. Will we do that? Will we do that? If you're willing to do that, just say amen. Say amen. Amen. There's an old, of course, to an old hymn we used to sing years ago. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. And let it begin in me. Maybe you've never heard that before now. Well, sing it with me again. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. And let it begin in me. Father, send us a revival. I know you're the God of the universe. You're God in Asbury, at Asbury University, but you're God in Morehope. You're God in Port Macquarie. You're God in Australia. Lord, I don't think there's been a great moving of your spirit in Australia since the Billy Graham movement. That was back in the 50s. So, Lord, we're asking you to send a revival. Burden us for the sin that we have committed, even those that we have a hard time confessing. Open our eyes and let us see just what's standing in the way. And help us to confess that, repent, and move away. Help us to seek your face. Help us to do that with humility. Father, send us revival. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.